All right. As you may or may not have noticed from my previous posts, this evening I'm a little drunky. So I'm gonna answer some questions from Crybaby, or as many of you may know her, Petal. Miss Petal. So, sorry. I'm gonna apologize in advance because I'll probably be clearing my throat or not, like, a lot. I'm drinking soda mixed drinks, which kind of sit heavily on the throat, and I'm also a smoker, so I may be clearing my throat quite a bit. Anyway, Crybaby, Miss Petals, has petals, pee questions prepared for pondering, which is just lovely alliteration. In code, she has, or the 18th petal flower questionnaire, or petals first questionnaire, #1. So I'm gonna go ahead and answer these questions. Miss Crybaby Petal is just a lovely little piece of scrumptiousness. I find her audio is very arousing, so hopefully her and I will collab together someday. On a questionnaire at the very least, hopefully more. But I'm gonna go ahead and answer some of her questions right now. So, first questionnaire, number one. What does your recording editing setup look like? What mic do you use to record? What editing software do you use? Was it easy for you to figure everything out and learn how to use these things right away? This is going to be a boring answer for me. I have an Android phone, so I have a built-in audio recorder, so I just use that, honestly. Like, I found it's got great quality. I can clip easily if I need to, which, to be honest with you guys, like, I never edit my audios. The very few that I have posted, I don't edit them. They are what they are. But if I needed to, I could, like, clip, you know, certain pieces, say, like, someone, you know, ends up talking in the background or some crazy thing happens and I'm interrupted. That would be easy to discard. So basically, I just talk to my phone. Like, I talk into my phone's recording mic, like, just like I'm having a phone conversation, which is probably why I get a lot of the, you sound so natural, you know, type comments, is because I'm talking to you just like I would talk to, you know, a regular person on the telephone. So that's that. And nothing fancy. Number two, where do you typically record and what positions do you usually situate yourself in? Typically, this is a little bit embarrassing. I mean, sometimes I record in my bedroom, in my bed, like, on my bed, or on my couch in my living room, but most often, to be quite honest, I record in my bathroom. The acoustics are great, so it sounds very nice, but also, I live with my parents, unfortunately, so recording in the bathroom sort of... Excuse me, I have been drinking, so, so random burps and hiccups may occur, and I'm very sorry for that, but don't, Usually, to be quite honest, usually most of my recordings happen in the bathroom because it's the one place where I feel most private. I mean, I'm old enough that my mom shouldn't be barging into my bedroom, but she does either way. But the bathroom is one place where people don't bother you. Plus, the acoustics are great. And I don't know, something about it. Like, ever since I was in middle school, high school, I've always been a huge book nerd. And reading late night in my bedroom always caused controversy. You know, if she ever came downstairs, blah, blah, blah. You know, the light was on. It was like someone could tell something was happening in there. But in the bathroom, you know, people don't bother you. I feel like I get left alone. I have my privacy. It's quiet in here. It's comfortable. It's cozy. Like, it's smaller, which for me, I'm not a huge fan of, like, big open spaces. I get nervous and anxious. I'd rather be able to see all my surroundings at one time. So, as weird as that may sound, like, I'm cozy here. Like, I like being in the bathroom. So, that's where I'm recording right now, to be honest. Question 3. Were you nervous to begin uploading your voice onto GWA? Or any erotic audio hosting website if GWA wasn't your first? Why or why not? I think GWA was my first, if not PTA, Pillow Talk Audio, which is, you know, quite similar, just not quite as erotic. for those of you who have listened to my audios, you'll find they're not necessarily erotic. They're more, you know, vanilla and soft and sweet. But I'll say that I was nervous just because, excuse me, I've heard a lot of females post. You know, I do check out a lot of the females who post here. And I didn't really feel like I could live up to those expectations as far as content. But I do enjoy my own voice, as crazy as that sounds. I generally and initially hated it. I think everyone hates the way they sound initially. Like, that's just inherently, like, embedded in our brains. You know, we hate the way we sound because we're like, that sounds like me, but it doesn't really sound like me. But I started recording myself reading, you know, excerpts from novels and singing different songs. And I was like, wow, you know, I kind of sound nice. So it kind of grew on me before I actually started posting. But for the most part, I thought I wasn't going to live up to listeners' expectations. Mostly because, like, specifically on GWA, it's very erotic. And I find that the female dominant posters have the most listens and likes or upvotes, as you call it. And that's really not my style. Although I feel like I could be. I'm very, like, theatrical as a person. I did theater, like, all through high school and college. So it's something I'm pretty comfortable with. You know, as far as, like, playing a part or filling a role. That's why, like, I really look for script like script offers, and I can't tell you how many I have in my saved list. Like, there's so many, like, I want to get to. But I guess I was, like, feeling down on myself in terms of, oh, I'm not going to be as good as her. But I sort of, like, you know, had a sidebar with myself, like, had a conversation with myself, and, you know, like, my voice is different. I don't think there's anyone else on GWA, like, that I've heard that sounds like me. So that was really encouraging, like, it's more or less, like, kind of going into the next question, number four, which is, what advice would you give to someone who is new? What do you suggest they do to calm their nerves? And what words of encouragement would you give to them? Number four in this questionnaire. It's kind of like, do it because you enjoy it. You know, do it because it brings you fulfillment and joy. And at the same time, like, there's bound to be someone out there of our some, like, 75,000 subscribers that we have now. It's kind of crazy. Like, GWA is growing in popularity, like, ridiculously. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I keep burping. That's so embarrassing. Anyway, our subscribers here and on PTA and even GWA Backstage, they keep growing because people are interested in this, and audio has a chance to reach people in a way that is special and substantial. So, to those of you like me who were nervous about recording your voice, just know that there's someone out there, you know, whether it's 1, 2, 3, you know, or 500, like, there is a various spans of people who are going to enjoy your voice. Someone is going to connect with what you're saying and how you're saying it. And the biggest thing that I've learned, just based on like comments and private messages that I've received, is that it's more about my tone and my dialect and the way that I speak versus my content. So, you know, some people are very focused on what they're talking about, whereas listeners sometimes are very focused on, like, how you're talking about it. So, you know, it's really all over the place, and I think that's great. I think that's the most important thing about audio, is that it reaches people and it touches people in different ways and for different reasons. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, seriously, hopefully, like, in the future, more people who lurk in the shadows and give those upvotes, which, you know, people see often, they'll be brave enough to comment. Because if us as posters know why we're captivating our audience, if we know why and, like, what it is about what we're saying or how we're saying it is captivating to them, I think it'll be much more, what's the word I'm looking for? It'll be much more productive in terms of what we're producing. So I hope to all of you who are listening, who, you know, just solely upvote or maybe send private messages, like, you should comment. You should, like, keep upvoting, but comment too. Like, tell us what you think. Tell us how you feel. Tell us what it makes you feel. It means a lot to us as posters to know to know why. To know what and why and how exactly we affect you. You know, that helps a lot in terms of future content. Anyway. number 5 is, what is an audio on GWA that you would love to hear, but just haven't yet? Or done how you would have preferred for it to have been done? For me, I don't think I have this yet. Like, I don't think I've encountered this yet to be able to answer this question properly. I'm a fairly submissive person, and there's lots of really, like, sexy daddy figure audios, which are really hot, and like, you know, the cuddle, sweet, like, it's all there. I mean, it really is all there. There is quite a bit of variety. So, I don't know, I'm not disappointed by any of it, and there's nothing that I'm specifically craving. I'm sure, like, eventually I'll come across something. What I've been really interesting is what other people come up with, like, as far as requests, and I'm like, oh, I never would have thought of that, but but honestly, more often than not, when people request, I will link things to them. I'll go, oh, you know, I heard something like what you're requesting, and I really liked it, so I'll kind of, like, I'm, like, y'all's, like, audio pimp, like, I'll link your audios to someone else. But no, there's nothing I can think of that I haven't heard yet. I wish I had something more interesting to say, and, like, maybe, like, I'll come up with something, but nothing yet. Number 6. You're fuming with anger toward your partner, and suddenly, in the middle of your venting, they kiss you. And you're feeling in that, what are your feelings in that moment? Lust, adoration, even more anger? Please explain. this is pretty familiar to me. my most recent ex, which we have been apart for, like, almost a year now. It's been a while, but for some reason, like, he was always fighting me, always. always, like, super argumentative, always wanted to be right, prove a point. Anyway, I mean, to be honest, like, a lot of the time, it turned me on. he would be, like, state his point. I would vent on my end, like, oh, no, you're wrong, blah, 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 whatever, you know, blah, 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 go on for, like, minutes, and then he would grab me in his arms and kiss me, like, literally, this would happen to me, and for some reason, it was more powerful for him to kiss me, because it felt to me like he was accepting my opinion, my viewpoint, versus, like, him arguing against me. So it was very much a turn on, very much a turn on. It was hot. But at the same time, there was still that little bit of, like, angst and anger, like, you know, you didn't even hear what I had to say and such. But it was kind of like an angry makeup kiss, which more often than not, like, led to something else. I think it would just depend on the subject matter and, you know, how they reacted verbally, emotionally, mentally before the kiss. If I'm, like, literally screaming at you, like, fuck you, like, you know, like, curse words, whatever, banter, profanity, and you decided to kiss me, I think mostly I'd probably just be confused. like, what are you getting at? what's your purpose here kind of thing. But, I mean, overall, like, in general, it really just turns me on. I think makeup sex is just extremely hot. If I can win you over by my passionate speech about, you know, any certain topic, I think that's really hot. And, you know, vice versa. Like, if you are passionate about something enough to influence me to change my mind, I think that's intimate and it's special and it means a lot. So that's that. Number 7. What is a paraphernalia or fetish you just don't understand or see any appeal to whatsoever? What's the reason for this answer? This is easy for me. The biggest thing that I... sorry. The biggest fetish that I will constantly question and forever question is water sports and or scat. I really just don't understand it. I find it disgusting and... reprehensible. I just can't. I can't wrap my head around it. Why anyone would find it attractive, like, much less erotic. You know, I'm sorry for those of you that are into that, but it's just really not my thing. I can't. I personally am very much about pleasing my partner and, you know, doing, saying, you know, etc., things that turn them on, but that is definitely one of the things that is a hard limit for me. I just can't do it. I don't know, like, what's the reason for your answer? My reason is that it's unnatural, and I mean, it's a natural bodily function, but, like, in terms of sexiness and sex appeal, it's not natural. It's disgusting, it's unhygienic, and it just really turns me off and grosses me out. That's it. Ooh. Number 8, what are some minuscule, passive, nearly insignificant actions that someone can do that would make you nearly come right then and there? Like, for example, peering over the cup they're drinking from to look you in the eye, typing intently, sitting a certain way, adjusting the bracelet watch. Like, these are really great examples of hers. Like, Miss Petal, thank you, babe. Like, these are really great little examples of hers. Making small noises like, yeah, passive, insignificant, minuscule, but that turned me on. I wouldn't say that they nearly, like, make me come right then and there. Like, there's nothing really that will do that to me, to be honest with you. But that aroused me. This might be weird, but I really like puns. Like puns. Like, I'm a funny person, I think. I like humor and caricatures and just, you know, overall silliness. So if you come up with a really great pun, or if you say something funny and then just kind of, like, draw it out almost to the point where it's not funny anymore, you know, where you just kind of, like, beat the dead horse till, like, it's done, that, like, sort of does it for me. I also, I also really like, I mean, in terms of, like, just, you know, audio, like, physical cues. Like, I like to hear guys talk about like how they feel, like sensation wise. Like, I've been in long distance relationships, or even just listening to audios on GWA, PTA, etc. Like, where they say, like how they physically feel, like how hard they are, how like the pre-cum aspect, things like that. Like, it's very generic, I guess, but in terms of that, like that actually really turns me on. I like to know, like, I'm pleasing you. That's I'm very much a submissive person in the bedroom, so I like to know that you're feeling good based on what I'm doing, and if you're not, then, like, I'm not doing my job. So, you need to tell me what to do to make you feel good, and that's another thing, like, guidance and directions, things like that. Number 9, name the most significant point on your sex bucket list. And describe it as vividly as you possibly can. I feel like I've had the opportunity to be pretty adventurous in my sex life so far. As far as my bucket list, I've never had a proper, I mean, when I say proper, I just mean, you know, someone I was actually fully interested in, female situation. I've had that situation where the male I was with was attracted to her, but I wasn't feeling it. So that'd be really great to be with a guy and for us to choose a girl together that we're both attracted to. I think that'd be extremely hot. Also, I think, to be fully submissive. most of the dominant men that I've been with were more like service doms, in terms of, like, they were dominant because they knew I enjoyed it. Whereas I would really like to be with a dom who is dominant, like, by nature, inherently, like, that's part of him. You know, he is that way. He doesn't want to be that way for me. Like, he wants to be that way for him. Because I inherently am submissive, and I want to be that way for him. So, you know, for those of you who are submissive, even probably those of you who are dominant who are listening, you'll know what I mean. Like, it's a two-way street. and just saying, the dominant men that I have been with, they solely were doing it to please me. So it was not quite as exciting as I imagine a man who is inherently dominant, who wants me to please him, would make the situation. So I really, like, that's on my bucket list. Like, I look forward to that. I hope I have that sort of situation one day. So, where are we? Number 10. If you choose to remain anonymous on GWA, is it because you're worried about people in real life finding out about your profile, or people on the internet finding you in real life? If you do not choose to remain anonymous, why is that? I'm not sure I understand this question. So, I guess kind of both. I mean, I'd be worried about people in real life finding out about my profile, and also people in the internet fighting about my real life. I'm not sure how, I mean, it's phrased differently, but interestingly enough, it sort of means the same thing. I'd hate for, like, my family members, my coworkers, etc., to find out that I have this profile and, you know, view or judge me differently, but at the same time, you know, perhaps I'd be just as worried about people on here finding out that, like, this is who I am as a real person, unless I specifically let them in. I guess, yeah, I guess specifically unless I let them in personally and, I guess in terms of the two, I'd be more worried that people in my real life would find out about my profile, especially because in terms of these questionnaires and, like, future audios, which, you know, things you'll probably see on my, you know, profile audio feed eventually will be very much diverse and sporadic in terms of, like, I'll be submissive, I'll be dominant, sexually curious in general. I would not like the people who are close to me to know these things unless I choose to share that with them. So yeah, I'd be more worried about people in my personal life knowing about my profile. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a little weird. Question 11. What was your high school, secondary school experience like? How would you best describe your life, your personality, and your mindset at the time? My high school experience was pretty diverse. I mean, in terms of those 4 years, I changed a lot in those 4 years. My freshman and sophomore year, I was very reserved and quiet, studious. Throughout all 4 years, I was in advanced classes, honors, AP, you know, however you may describe it, classes, and I kept a lot to myself. I was pretty shy and, you know, introverted. I still am. But towards later years, I sort of got to a point where it was kind of like, what's the word? I think I was, I can't think of how to describe it, but I think I got sort of overconfident in a way where I was like, oh, I don't need to study. I don't need to, you know, read the material or practice the, you know, like practice the math or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. I just kind of assumed that I knew what I was doing. Which really was a bad idea because like my junior year, my grades started to suffer horribly. But in my junior year, I also found theater and acting. I joined my high school's forensic team and I started doing theatrical events and like poetry reading and all these things outside of academics that were exciting to me and that I was like equally as good at, but so much more passionate about. So they easily outweighed easily outweighed my academic performance because I just cared more about them. I cared more about my speech, my theater classes, my creative writing classes, because it was more fun than science, math, and English, sadly enough. So my GPA dropped drastically from sophomore to junior year, and then again from junior to senior year. I mean, I did graduate in the, you know, top 3/4 of my class, but at the same time, I could have done a lot better. I think for me, it was more about, like, quote-unquote, discovering myself. I feel like that's pretty common for people that age, you know. You want to find out who you are. Maybe that's more college age, but, like, I never went away to college, and by the time I was a junior, everyone around me was applying for colleges, and I knew personally that I couldn't afford it. My family wasn't well off, weren't taken care of. I really had no chance other than, you know, in-state schools, which just kind of weren't appealing to me, to go to college. So I tried to make the most of what I had in front of me. As far as personality goes, I feel like my personality probably hasn't changed that much. I'm very much like a mixture of extrovert and introvert. Like they say there's like that extroverted introvert. Like there are certain times where I have no problem speaking out and expressing myself, but for the most part, I'm pretty introverted. It takes a lot of energy out of me to be in public and social situations, which is why audio, you know, things like this, like, are very good for me, because there's nobody reacting to me. I don't have to fulfill anyone's needs specifically, or respond or react to anyone, because there's no one there. When I'm in situations like that, like, it's very exhausting. Like, you know, 10 plus people around me, and I'm the center of attention. Like, I get tired mentally, emotionally very quickly, so things kind of shut down after a while. Yeah. Number 12, how much have you changed since your 18th birthday? What are some words of wisdom you would give to a new adult on the subreddit? I feel like I kind of answer this question. It's very similar. Since my 18th birthday, I very much become more confident. Like, not body confident, not like on the outside, but confidence that I am intelligent and I'm eloquent. I'm funny, sarcastic, etc. Like, you know, someone to ask me, like, what are your best qualities, I could name them with ease, and success. Words of wisdom. I feel like I've heard this before, but I'm gonna say it anyway because I feel like it was very true. Like, I just wanna, to anyone who's new to the subreddit or who listens and lurks and who's thinking about it, I feel like you should just know that, like, there is someone out there of our, you know, 75,000 plus subscribers on the subreddit. Like, somebody out there is gonna want to hear you. Somebody out there is gonna want to, okay, I guess I should say GWA has 75,000 plus subscribers. GWA Backstage, not quite so much, but I mean, either way, everyone has different tastes, everyone has different viewpoints. Like, somebody is going to connect with something that you're saying. This is why I am recording this right now. Like, these ridiculous questions and my ridiculous rambles, like, I'm hoping at least something that I'm saying, somebody is going to connect with. And that's the, like, magic of audio and just human interaction in general. Like, you'll realize that, especially the older you get, like, the more life experiences you have and the more things you go through, like, people are going to connect to it. Because, you know, life is crazy and it's a freaking roller coaster and blah, blah, blah. But we really do all go through the sort of same inner struggles and you know, same sort of identity crises. And there's going to be somebody who reacts and connects to what you're saying. So take a leap, take the jump, you know, grow the ball and just do it. Because, like, what do you have to lose? It's not like anyone here is going to be cruel to what you're saying. Like, you're either going to get, like, little to no response or you're going to get positivity. So it can't hurt either way. Number 13. What is your favorite scent? Do you associate it with anything in particular? Does it conjure any sort of nostalgia? If you have a story, feel free to share. This is a great question. As a psychology-minded person, and I studied psychology in college, this is a great question because scent is hugely associated and connected to memory, which, you know, is connected to, like, thought processes and your mind in general, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We really do have scent memories. For me, like, a big scent is vanilla, which I don't particularly like, but it does remind me of my grandmother, who is a very special person in my life. I mean, she's always encouraged me and supported me, and, you know, she was born, let's be honest, a long, long time ago, and things were very different in society, but at the same time, like, she makes the effort to understand. She's such a beautiful person, so anytime I smell vanilla, I think of her. Like, lilacs or lilies, which are very subtle scents. Like, they always bring me a relaxing feeling. I'm not sure exactly why. I think there's this thing called aromatherapy. And I think for me, like, I did try it for a while. Like, you know, heavily, like, pursued it for a while. And I think the fact that I used lilac and lily and lavender especially, was helpful. Like, those scents inherently, like, bring me a sense of peace and calmness, and they make me feel nice and just sort of peaceful. So, number 14. Name a turn off. Perhaps the smallest, most bearable turn off of the extensive list you've got. The name an absolute deal breaker, one that would cause you to never consider a relationship with that person, despite how attractive or appealing that person would be. That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I should have something, like, you know, probably a year, two, three, 5 years ago, like, I would have, like, several things, but for me, the older I get, like, the more understanding I am of qualities in a person, okay, the biggest turnoff for me would be someone who is not connected or involved with their family. I'm older than I'd like to admit, and still live with my parents, like, my mother and her husband, my stepdad. But regardless, like, I probably would still call my mom at least once a week, you know, probably multiple times a week. She's a very special person in my life, you know. She influenced a lot of my behavior and my personality and who I am and how I think. And I'm not sure, like, I could ever be with someone who is not connected to or interactive with their family in some way. Although, like I said, like the older and more mature I get and the more life experience I gain, the more I understand why people are the way that they are. And I feel like there are definite circumstances where I would be accepting of people not being involved with their family members. You know, I won't, like, you know, drop anything, like, name anything, but there are definitely circumstances where most situations, whether, you know, I agree with them or can empathize with them or not, like, I'm very understanding as a person. So, I don't know. I can't think of any, like, real deal breakers or turnoffs. I don't know. Number 15. You are granted the opportunity to have the most tingly, intense, hair-raising, toe-curling, multiple screaming orgasm. Rawr. To put it simply, the best sex of your life with one celebrity of your choice. Who would it be and why would that be? How do you imagine them to be in bed? Oh, wow. Surprisingly enough, like, I'm much more into men than I am into women in terms of very rarely would consider dating a woman, whereas I mostly, you know, significantly often date men, but I'm attracted to women at the same time. My choice would be a woman. Her name is Jemima Kirk. She is a character on the HBO series Girls. She has that sort of, like, girl next door look, but at the same time her sex appeal just oozes off of her so effortlessly. Like, she's got extremely long hair, like long luscious hair, beautiful eyes, like lips that I just want to kiss for days. She's tall and not super thin, but shapely, and especially, like, her character on that show has the best wardrobe ever. She's dressed like a goddess. Like, everything she wears, she looks phenomenal in. So, yeah, I definitely would choose her. like, why would that be? Like, for reasons I previously mentioned. I imagine her to be just sultry and sensuous. I think she'd be very sensuous. Not necessarily, like, outwardly sexual, but sensuous. Like, she'd very much be into, sensation and, damn it, there's a word in my head that I'm thinking of and I can't articulate it. This is what happens when I drink, but, I feel like it'd be very, like, intimate and arousing and just erotic in many ways. Like, alright, so moving on, because, look her up, Jemima Kirk, JEMIMAKIRKE. Like, if you don't know who she is, look her up. She is fucking gorgeous and lovely, and I would love to have her naked in my bed. Number 16. If you enjoy the word daddy, being used in a sexual manner. What is it about it that makes your genitals feel like they're on fire? Oh, pedal. If you don't enjoy the word, what is a word that you like being called or you like calling others that you really love, and why do you love it? I personally do love daddy. It's very erotic for me because oh, I'm getting so sleepy. Like, I don't even know how long this audio is right now. I'm sorry for rambling, but I'm gonna try to answer these questions as quickly and precisely as possible. We got like two more to go. Okay, so I do like daddy. I think it's erotic because it makes me feel like I'm in a position of submission. I am the weaker link in the equation. I like it because daddy can mean a person who's loving and caring and sweet, or it can also be a person who is in a position of power, you know, who's going to discipline you, who will possibly be harsh and, you know, demanding. And those things are like highly interchangeable, and they can change so quickly when you have someone who is a quote unquote daddy figure, you know, in your life. So that's what turns me on about it most, is sort of the unpredictability, but that combination of sweet and soft and, you know, harsh and demanding and sexy at the same time. It's very much a turn on. I really liked being called, like, or being told I'm a good girl. But I'm doing a good job. Like, I like that praise in that way too. So, kudos. Yum. number 17. Yeah, that was a burp. In case you know, embarrassing, but that's what happens when I drink too much and I don't eat anything, so I'm so sorry. Number 17. Are you more confident, bold, or shy, nervous in your audios than you are in real life? Or are you about the same? Which character-based audio of yours would you consider most representative of yourself? Well, I mean, to answer the back end of the question, I only have two audios posted, and I'd say they're, like, probably 60 to 80%, like, realistic. I mean, obviously, I wasn't with, like, it's not obviously, but I'll tell you, like, I wasn't with anyone else. I was with myself, so that was me reacting to this sort of, you know, creation in my head. But overall, like, I'm probably still like a 60-40 miss. Like, I'd say 60% shy, nervous, 40% confident, bold. It's not a 50-50, but it's not like 100% 0, 90, 10, etc. there are certain people that I've been with who I'm very confident and bold with, you know, whether that's because they enjoy it and I know it, or because they're not willing to be confident and bold, so I have to take the reins. I prefer to be more shy, like, I wouldn't say I prefer to be nervous, but, I prefer to be more submissive, is what I'll say. And I prefer my partner to be more dominant. Okay, so this question says, for example, if your audio involves your character seducing someone you just met at the mall and then dominating them and fucking them very roughly, would you consider that to be a situation that had happened in real life? And I'd say no. It'd be more or less, I would be the person that got seduced and dominated and probably manipulated into that situation. I don't know if I'm, like, really an innocent or naive person. I think I just sort of play that character a lot. Because I like to please. I like to please my partner. I love knowing that my partner is satisfied and happy. So it's kind of like I want to feel out what they want. And I think I'm very intuitive in that regard. So more or less, I'm very much the nervous shy. Anyway. Number 18. This is the last question. So, a spell is cast upon you by a sadistic, sexy sex witch. Where you must choose between the following. Have an intense, sporadic 10-minute orgasm every hour. Like, for example, between 1 and 2, 2 and 3. It'll happen sometime between the beginning of the current hour and the clock striking the next hour. But this isn't to say that that you'll get an hour break between each orgasm. One orgasm might be at 1:50 and the next might be at 2. Also, you may not have sex or masturbate. The spell-casted orgasm is the only pleasure you receive. Or, okay, so it's one 10-minute orgasm every hour. Or have your genitals stimulated once for no longer than 1 minute every 365 days and have an incredibly weak orgasm. Which do you choose? This is such a weird and easy question. I mean, I don't understand. I don't even understand why there are these two options. It's asking if you want to have 10 minutes of intense pleasure every hour, or you want to have nothing at all and be just relentlessly teased for 1 minute every year. Like, that makes no sense. That makes no sense at all. I feel like, as overwhelming as it might be, like, I still would choose the 10 minutes every hour. I don't know, maybe I would go crazy